Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Fellow Falcoholics, what is up? Welcome to another episode of the Falcoholic Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Knight, at Falcoholic Kevin, joined by a great guest today for our Falcons versus Browns Week 4 game preview. He is Noah Schaefer, at Browns Central _, the host of the Dog Check Podcast, Dog Check Show with Eric Metcalf. You know, maybe same thing. You know, you could argue one way or the other, but that's on the Believe Network. Noah, thanks so much for coming on. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, we got a pretty interesting game to break down here. I think before this last week, probably the line would have been a lot more favorable to the Browns, who I think have played remarkably well with Jacoby Brissett. I've been pretty impressed by him. Falcons found a way to actually get in the win column last week, taking it to the Seahawks defense in particular. And I think that has moved things to a little bit more of a balanced situation. Browns also dealing with quite a few injuries. So that's obviously something we'll talk about that could end up being a factor in this one. But we'll start it off, as we always do, looking at the Falcons offense versus the opponent's defense. And this is starting with the weapons for the Falcons. This has been really the bright spot for Atlanta on offense this year, other than the run game itself, you know, with Cordarrelle Patterson. But Drake London has been excellent. Just everything Falcons fans have hoped for as the Falcons' top receiver. Olamide Zaccheaus has really stepped up to be that wide receiver too. And then there's obviously Kyle Pitts to contend with. How has the Browns secondary fared so far, and how do you feel about those matchups going into this game?
Yeah, so the first two games of the season, our big word was miscommunication. Gave up a big play to Robbie Anderson, gave up a big play to Corey Davis that ended up causing us the game in week two. So they have had a lot to deal with. They had a players-only meeting ahead of week three to make sure that everything was okay and sound. And when they came out in week three, it was still kind of shaky in the first half, allowed 14 points in the first half to Mitchell Trubisky. And they ended up pulling it together in the second half, but it certainly is not where we expected it to be. Last season, we had a top five defense, and the secondary was a big part of that. So it's kind of disappointing to see where we're at right now. And considering that Denzel Ward has just, he seems to be playing flat. He's getting turned around on some pretty simple routes and stuff that is very uncharacteristic for him. So it may be a feast for Atlanta's offense this week. And if that's the case, it honestly would not surprise me. But I do think they could get it turned around.
Yeah, you know, with someone like Denzel Ward, everyone knows how good he is. Now he's cropped up on the injury report. Is there any concern about his availability for the game?
No, not yet. Joe Woods has said that he's been out there, and it's typically how it is with Denzel. He has like a stinger or something, but he'll power through, and thankfully we're not going to miss him.
Yeah, yeah, that would be a big loss, even though he hasn't played well so far. We all know what he's capable of. Definitely one of the best young corners in the NFL. And sort of a similar situation with A.J. Terrell, maybe not to the same extent, but he's given up a few touchdowns early in the season, going up against a lot of good receivers. And we're not too concerned either about him, but sounds like a similar situation with Ward, just sort of uncharacteristic mistakes early on that probably going to get corrected over the course of the season if history is any indication. So, yeah, moving on to the run defense of the Browns, actually on paper, pretty good. And of course, when healthy, the Browns have a elite edge rushing duo with Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. I know Clowney has missed, I believe, the last game, went out in week two. Myles Garrett, unfortunately, involved in a car accident. It seems like he's avoided serious injury, which is terrific. Really glad to hear that. Seems like his status for the game is potentially in question, but there's a chance, I guess, is what they were saying today, that he could play. Of course, the Falcons on the ground have been excellent so far. Not as good as the Browns overall with Nick Chubb, but that's pretty hard to keep up with that. But Cordarrelle Patterson's been awesome. One of the most productive running backs in the league so far, which has been really fun to watch him have this late career renaissance as a running back after playing basically his entire career as a receiver. Falcons offensive line has been a little hit or miss, but they've been better than expected, especially as run blockers. How has the Cleveland run defense fared? And do you have any concern about the edge rushing duo potentially missing this one?
Yeah, so I think our run defense has been pretty good. We were able to contain Christian McCaffrey, and I know he didn't get a lot of usage in that first game, but he broke off for maybe one big run. But otherwise, he was able to be contained in week two. I really think that there's talent in that Jets backfield, but they were being used in the receiving game a lot. So that really wasn't a concern on the ground. And against Najee Harris, we let up a touchdown. But, I mean, who isn't going to let up a touchdown against that big body running back? It's really impossible to contain him. So I'm not really concerned about our run stopping right now. We may miss Taven Bryan for this game. He went down last week with a hamstring injury, and he's been actually really good in the pass rushing department and in the run stopping department. But there is a lot of defensive tackles on this roster, and they're young, and they don't necessarily have the proven talent, but they do have the potential. And if they do need to step in, I think it's going to be a really fun rotation, and we can see what we got out of all of these guys. And you know, with Clowney and Garrett, I think Clowney might miss this game. That an ankle roll seemed to be pretty serious, and he left in a boot on Thursday or on in week two. So
yeah.
If we do miss him, we have an opportunity for Alex Wright to step up, a rookie out of Southern Florida. And I really like what he puts on tape. He seems to defend the run really well, and although he's not the best pass rusher, he's definitely a great outside run stopper. And if we do miss Myles Garrett, which I would hope we rest him for this game, there's really no need to rush him back right now. And even though he did suffer a minor injury, that's still something that could mess with your head a little bit. So if he is out, we have Isaiah Thomas that can really play that outside run too. And you know, I like the talent that we have on this defensive line.
Yeah, there definitely seems to be a good amount of depth, just sort of untested at this point. It seems like the Taven Bryan reclamation project is going pretty well. I think he's a good fit there. Definitely a lot of talent around him. And then Perrion Winfrey seems like he's probably going to get a lot of reps in this one if guys are missing on the interior, like Taven Bryan. And Winfrey was a guy I absolutely loved. I watched him at the Senior Bowl, just dominated there. So definitely will be excited to see him play. Hopefully he doesn't play too well against the Falcons, but you know, rest of the season, I'll be rooting for him. At linebacker, seems like there's been a rash of injuries there as well. I think Anthony Walker got hurt. I don't remember if he ended up on IR or if he's possibly going to be coming back. It looked bad at the time. And then Owusu-Koramoah has been on the injury report as well. So those are two starters. Any updates on those guys and their availability?
Yeah, so Anthony Walker is out for the season. He tore his quad tendon, yeah, which is really unfortunate. Yeah. He was definitely the leader. And JOK had a groin injury. They said they're going to take it slow. He's day by day. But it's just going to see how he responds in practice, and we'll see if we can get him ready.
Yeah, yeah. So that could be potentially a weak link there with two starters out. I know you have Jacob Phillips, who's another guy that I liked coming out, but a lot less experience there certainly with Anthony Walker out, and then of course Usukoramo offers so much as like a chess piece. So that's something to monitor. I think Falcons will probably be trying to take advantage of linebacker matchups. They love to do that with Kyle Pitts. They did a much better job of getting him matched up on linebackers last week after not really targeting him all that much in the first two games, interestingly. So that's probably something for folks to monitor. But I know like Sione Takitaki has been pretty good as well, as someone who's stepped up when he had to. So definitely interested to see that. How that plays out. And then obviously the same thing with the pass rush. I think it probably comes down to, you know, how healthy the edge rushers are. But obviously when Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney are in there, it's a great pass rush. The Falcons, somewhat miraculously, after being like the worst pass blocking line in the league last year, have only allowed, I think, 3 sacks so far, or 4 sacks total. And a lot of that has to do with Marcus Mariota and his ability to evade pressure. But yeah, I think that the pass blocking for the Falcons has been not as good as it might appear because Mariota has been able to escape. But certainly if Garrett and or Clowney were to miss the game, that would probably help out the Falcons in that regard. How do you feel about the rookies' ability to rush the passer if they have to step up this week?
I definitely think they have the potential to be game changers. If you look at their tape, I mean, Alex Wright isn't the fastest. He's not, you know, the strongest, but he has fast hands. I think that would definitely help him out. And Isaiah Thomas is just, he's kind of like a bowling ball. He's not going to pancake somebody, but he can definitely move a big guy and get back in the backfield and make a play. And we saw a little bit of that in the preseason. So I'm excited to see what he can bring. And if Alex Wright can start to really bring it together, that's going to be somebody we're going to look forward to next season if Clowney decides to not re-sign, and he'll be a big piece for us.
Yeah, yeah, definitely interested to see if these guys have to step up, how they look. Falcons tackles, pretty solid so far, especially Jake Matthews as a pass protector. McGarry has always been up and down, so he's potentially someone you can take advantage of, but it's really the interior, other than Chris Lindstrom, who's been elite this year. I think he's like a top three guard per PFF's grading. Drew Dahlman has struggled a little bit, mostly with the snapping. I think his PFF grade's a little harsh. But, you know, I think they ding him a lot for the messed up snaps. And then it seems like Elijah Wilkinson, who missed last week with a personal matter, will be back at left guard. But Colby Gossett, who actually stepped in, played pretty well. So I think they'll be okay at left guard. But Wilkinson's been a pretty reliable pass protector for them so far. So we'll see. I think this is probably one of the toughest tests, if the Browns defensive line is fully healthy, certainly. But we'll see if the Falcons sort of sidestep it a little bit with the injuries. But that's definitely a point of concern if they're fully healthy, because we've seen it. Garrett and Clowney can absolutely take over games with that pass rushing. Moving on to the Falcons offense against the Browns defense, or excuse me, the other way. Falcons defense versus the Browns, because we just talked about the Falcons offense. You know, yep. We talked about it twice, I guess, but probably get a little repetitive. Falcons defense has not been great, certainly, so far. They're like a bottom 23, 25 sort of ranked defense. They've been solid against the run, about league average, but they haven't really faced a rushing attack like Cleveland's. But looking, first of all, at sort of the outside matchups, Amari Cooper seems like he's been a big addition. I think the other wide receivers maybe aren't as known. But how do you feel about the Browns' ability to go up against the Falcons' secondary, which should be good? They do have A.J. Terrell. They have Casey Hayward coming over. And then they've gotten some decent contributions from their reserve slot players while Isaiah Oliver's out. But how do you feel about the passing game's ability to attack the Falcons' secondary?
Yeah, so I think Jacoby Brissett was brought in as a guy, a clear veteran who knows how to read all sorts of defenses, and he's been able to show it. And Amari Cooper is obviously his favorite target. I believe Amari is taking up 33% of the target share. And we haven't seen a lot from Donovan Peoples-Jones, Anthony Schwartz, David Bell, Michael Woods, people like that. So it may be interesting to see how the Falcons secondary kind of responds to that, because if there is not a lot of people to pay attention to, what is that going to do for Amari? Are they going to try to get multiple bodies on Amari, just kind of throw some wrenches in his way when he's trying to run his routes? So I really would like to see a lot more usage with our, you know, second and third receivers, because there's talent there. Donovan Peoples-Jones showed what he could do in 2020, and I think he really shined there as a number two, and then he tried to take over as a number one in 2021. That didn't really work out, but he has the talent, and he's a very good possession receiver. His catch radius is really nice, so I think we could definitely expand his usage this game. And, you know, David Bell is a really good slot receiver. I think we need to start using him a little more. We have Kareem Hunt, obviously, in the passing game too, which has been pretty useful, but this is definitely a game where our other receivers need to shine. And, you know, they're a little rusty, so maybe the Falcons secondary just completely jumps it and it gives us a little bit of an issue, but this will be the game.
Yeah, it'll be the Falcons secondary certainly has been beatable, mostly in zone coverage, where they've just really had a lot of mistakes. In man coverage, I think they've played really well, especially AJ Terrell. So I'd expect them to. Terrell doesn't usually follow receivers. I don't know if they would consider doing it in this game because the Browns haven't really shown they can. The other receivers like are big threats, but I think they're pretty confident with Terrell and Hayward on the outside that like those guys can match up against most receivers. But I do expect that we'll see like safety help, probably like slanted over to Cooper's side of the field when he's out there. But yeah, I'm interested to see if the Browns do try to attack through the air with the receivers. I know also David Njoku has been finally utilized a lot as a receiver in this one. Tell me about Njoku finally sort of like, because I've drafted him in fantasy, like I feel like the last 3 years, like, okay, the breakout's coming. And of course, I didn't do it this year when he's actually getting targeted. But what's going on with Njoku and how did they finally figure out that they should actually throw the ball to this guy?
Yeah, I mean, he had a 89.6 PFF grade, which is the third highest game of his career. And he had 89 total yards, and 57 of those yards were after the catch. So he's just a strong receiver. He obviously has that big frame, and he likes to get physical. He has been counted out in the past, hasn't really been used, and, you know, he has something to prove this year, especially after getting a big contract, which many people believe he didn't really deserve. So this is definitely his year to really showcase what he has. And last year he flashed a lot of it. I think Baker really liked him, and it paid off. So I really, really like what he has shown. He's emerged as a real good blocker too, which is something that we've wanted him to become for a little bit. And his hands are finally no longer bricks, which is something that we have faced for the last couple of years. So I really like what is happening right there, and he is just fantastic. And Jacoby is really going to favor him, I believe, this game, and I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I do want to get your take on Brissett's play so far too, because I think people's expectations for the Browns were really low with him as the quarterback. Obviously, waiting for Deshaun Watson's suspension to end, you know, but I think he's played a lot better than people were expecting and has really had quite a command of the offense and been very efficient. Tell me about Brissett. How has he looked overall, and are you really confident in his ability to sort of carry this team through the first 11 weeks before Watson gets here?
Yeah, I think he's just been spectacular the first three games of the season. Came out a little shaky week one, but really started to pull it together. And if the defense did their part, we could have came out there with a kind of an easy win, and Jacoby would have kind of been the star for that. And week two and three, he was just fantastic. Week three had a 92.5 PFF grade. That was the highest on our team by a pretty wide margin. And it really shows how much work that Andrew Berry in this front office puts in. I've said this all along, that Baker Mayfield was not a Kevin Stefanski quarterback. I think there was he was holding him back a little bit. So now you get a quarterback who doesn't really have that long arm, but he is able to take these reads, make quick decisions, get the ball out quickly, which is exactly what Stefanski likes to do. And somebody like Amari Cooper is definitely aiding that. So Jacoby has just been fantastic. He understands that once week 12 comes around, he's going to be out of that starting position. So he's going to go out there, win as many games as he needs to win. And, you know, next year when he's a free agent, who needs a quarterback? He can go in there and really show what he can do. So I really, really love what he has done for this offense. We really needed a leader with some of the chemistry issues that we had last year. So he really brought us together.
Yeah, it seems like that has really paid off. And I think Brissett's always sort of been an underrated quarterback. I feel like this happens to a lot of, you know, quality black quarterbacks that could definitely be better than some of the starters that are out there. They just never seem to get another shot. We're seeing the same thing with Geno Smith now, finally getting a chance again to play and, you know, acquitting himself well. So I'm happy for Brissett, certainly, that the Browns gave him this chance. And I think he's certainly making the most of the opportunity. And it seems like he will be getting an opportunity, much like Marcus Mariota of the Falcons, to finally, you know, again, get a chance to start and looking good. And maybe if it's, you know, obviously with Brissett, not the future in Cleveland, Mariota more than likely not the future in Atlanta, but getting sort of a chance to reignite their careers and, you know, potentially show that, you know, these guys are better than some of these other starters out here, probably at least 10 of them. So it's just happy for these guys to get the chance and happy that Brissett's taking advantage. Hopefully it doesn't take too much of an advantage of the Falcons this week, but, you know, going forward, certainly. But yeah, with the offensive line's the next place I want to go. Always been a strength of the Browns when healthy, at least. Definitely a change at center with Posich coming in. And I know Jedrick Wills hasn't had the like elite start to the season. It's been a little bit of a slump for him early, but everyone knows how good he can be. And then of course the guards, probably the best guard duo in the NFL with Wyatt Teller and Joel Bitonio. I know Bitonio popped up on the injury report. Is there any concern about his availability for this week?
No, I think with every practice, he's a veteran. He's been around long enough. Just kind of give him a day of rest or whatever. But there's never really a concern when he's on the injury report.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, it didn't seem like there was a high level of concern there. So I know that is someone that would be a big loss. And Wyatt Teller, I think, is like the number one guard, according to PFF. He's been tremendous once again. How do you feel about this offensive line's ability to hold up against what's been a very lackluster, I would say, defensive front of the Falcons so far?
Yeah, I think, like you said, Wyatt Teller and Joel Bitonio are the best in the business. When you invest at least $100 million in your two guards, you have a high standard for them, and they've really shown how great they are. Teller has ran into some penalty issues this season, so I would like to see that get cleaned up. Jedrick Wills is just, he's actually improved a little bit. He's second in the NFL in pass block win rate at 97%, which is actually really fantastic. I've been a huge critic of his, and he's kind of shut me up a little bit. And Jack Conklin, coming off of his injury and surgery in the offseason, came back last week, and I think he did all right. Not much of a pass rush from the Steelers that night, but I think that he can start to work his way back into the fold, and maybe the Falcons kind of take advantage of that a little bit. You send a couple guys at him. I don't necessarily think he's going to be the fastest to get over there and make a couple quick blocks, but he's a great run protector, and I think that this offensive line is back into the form that they were in last year.
Yeah. The Falcons, their thing is that they're going to blitz. That's sort of their calling card to get pressure, because other than Grady Jarrett right now, who of course is playing just excellent football once again, like the only guy on the defensive line. I just really hope they get him some help sooner rather than later. But they do have a couple of edge rushers now with Arnold Ebikadi, the rookie, who's played pretty well, and Lorenzo Carter, who's been a solid do-everything guy. Taquan Graham has been a nice surprise, the fifth-round pick from last year, as sort of the other starter opposite Jarrett. But they really have needed to blitz to get consistent pressure. They did it really well against the Saints. They didn't do so hot with it against the Rams, and Seahawks was up and down. How have the Browns handled the blitz so far?
I think Jacoby has definitely had some plays where he struggled with the blitz. But like I said, he likes to get the ball out really quickly. And we have two really good running backs who know how to throw their weight around, and they can definitely pick up some blocks. Njoku and Harrison Bryant can come in and block as well. And we saw Blake Hance as our guard tackle combo coming in at fullback on Thursday night. That was something I did not expect. I have not seen that at all in practice or anything like that. So that was a pleasant surprise. So if we can just add to that backfield and give Jacoby as much time as he needs to just get that ball out, I think we may have a great shot. And like you said, you guys love to bring pressure. So this will be a good test to see what we can do going into teams like the Chargers, the Bucks, the Patriots, teams like that. I think they've held up their end of blitzing pickups this year so far.
Yeah, I know Kareem Hunt in particular has been one of the best pass blocking running backs, which guys don't always get the credit for that, but I know he's been really good there. So that's definitely going to be a factor on Sunday because the Falcons are going to send pressure. But yeah, I think the problem is, you know, generally when you blitz, you usually play zone behind it, especially against these quick hitting offensive attacks. And when the Falcons play zone, they tend not to do a great job. So it's sort of a, do you want to play man and maybe not have the best pass rush, or do you want to play zone, send a blitz, maybe get home, but then there's often these big holes in the zone. So it's been sort of a, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't defense so far. Thankfully, they've made enough plays against the Seahawks to finally get that W, but it's been up and down, but certainly better than last year. The Falcons have 7 sacks already, notably for those who aren't Falcons fans. Falcons had 18 sacks all of last season, so they're well on pace to beat last year's record of 18 sacks. Not the kind of record you want, unfortunately, but they should get more sacks than last year at least. But still, pass rush probably one of the parts of the defense that really needs a lot of investment. You know, Atlanta dealing with, I think, the highest dead cap in history this year. I think like almost a third of their cap is dedicated to like Matt Ryan and still some Julio money and all this. So, considering all that, I think they've done an admirable job of putting together a roster that has not gotten blown off the turf every week. So good on them. And, you know, I think this is going to be a good matchup here. But going to the next aspect, which would be the running backs, of course, we talked about Kareem Hunt and his pass blocking. He's very dangerous as sort of a dual threat running back as well. And then Nick Chubb, just obviously the best pure running back in the NFL at this point. I know Cordarrelle Patterson's, you know, actually on his heels a little bit, surprisingly, but Chubb, just such a special runner of the football, and the Browns offensive line has been just elite at running it. The Falcons have had running their linebackers really step up. We've seen Rashawn Evans sort of really thrive in DNP's defense after sort of struggling after he left Tennessee. And then Michael Walker, the third-year linebacker for the Falcons, has been one of their best coverage guys. He has an interception. He's gotten his hands on 2 or 3 more that he dropped. Just a very dangerous zone coverage guy. But the tackling has been sort of a weak spot for him. So how do you think the Browns running game right now, I think number one in the NFL in yardage and like top 5 in yards per attempt, how do you expect that part of the game to go against the Falcons' sort of average run defense?
Yeah, Nick Chubb is just fantastic. He's Cleveland's boy. Posted a video like before week one and was like, we're tired of losing. Goes out there, runs for 141 yards, and he's just been a tank this year. So I see no reason why we would stray away from the run game. Get Kareem Hunt a little bit more involved. I know he's fighting for a contract this year, and I think he deserves it. This offensive line has allowed them, last time I checked, to get 5.6 yards per carry. Like, that is a nutty number. Yeah. And that's just insane. So Nick Chubb is obviously one of the best running backs that we've had in this franchise besides Jim Brown. And he could even get up to Jim Brown numbers at some point in his career. So any time that you can utilize this run game is going to be lethal to any defense. If you can get your linebackers in there and just try to create some confusion for maybe our guards or Ethan Poches, who it doesn't have the strongest feet under him. So as long as you can just kind of knock him over a little bit, you may be able to get in there and stop us behind the line. But they are definitely some of the best running backs in the league, and just hitting you over and over again is difficult for any defense.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the key for the Falcons is going to be to just keep pace with the points, because if they get down, the Browns are just going to level them with the run game. And that's of course what the Browns would love to do against every single opponent, I'm sure. To Atlanta's credit, the offense has actually been pretty good. Ninth in scoring so far, fifth in rushing. You know, the Falcons have averaged 4.9 yards per carry, which I thought was good until I heard the Browns number. you know, it's not necessarily an insult that you're behind the Browns running game, which I think has been the number one in the NFL for several years now. I think the key for the Falcons in this one is really to sort of keep pace in the scoring or try to get a lead early. The Falcons generally like to defer when they win the coin toss. But if they do, you know, this is one of those games where it's like, oh, it might make sense to get the ball first to try to get out ahead and prevent the Browns from just pounding the rock and, you know, running the ball 30 plus times in this one. Because I think if they get down and the Browns are able to play the game they want to play, it's going to be really difficult for Atlanta. What do you think some of the keys for the Browns to come away with the win in this one are?
I think Jacob Phillips needs to have a big game. Like you said, Cordarrelle Patterson is really emerged as a really good running back in the last couple of years. And he's had some issues reading the gaps and coming in as the starting linebacker that's going to be charged with the defensive play calling like Anthony Walker has, and step into a big role, which he hasn't really seen yet, is going to be huge. So getting him going is going to be huge. Sione Takitaki is going to need to have a big game also to help defend that outside run. And just our secondary needs to lock in. We have a lot of big games ahead of us, and this is definitely a game where they're going to have some tough competition. Kyle Pitts and Drake London could have a huge game, and that's going to be horrible for our morale. So they got to come out and they got to play angry. They got to play tough and do kind of what they did last week. I think the defensive line is just going to really, really have to lock in and show how they're going to play next year when there's no Jadeveon Clowney. You guys are going to have to be the next guys up. So just play fast, play hard, and get to the quarterback as much as you can. And this usually would be a game where I would like Joe Woods to send a lot of pressure, whether it be through the corners, safeties, linebackers, which is what we did in week one. But let's just kind of tamper this a little bit. We go against Lamar Jackson twice a year, and Marcus Mariota is a very mobile quarterback. So as long as we can keep a guy on him, if JOK is out, which is going to be a huge loss if he is, because he's our guy that's everywhere, keeping an eye on Mariota is going to be the key.
Yeah, we saw in week one, Mariota ran for like 60 yards, 70 yards on the Saints, and that was a key part of that game. The last 2 weeks, much lower rushing output, but they'll certainly try to get Mariota involved at the very least to try to open up stuff for Patterson, who's been sort of the beneficiary of that aspect of the game as well. I think if the Browns were fully healthy, I think they'd probably be closer to like 4 or 5 point favorites in this one. But with all the questions surrounding Clowney and Myles Garrett and the linebackers, it could be a much more vulnerable Browns defense than a full health Browns defense would be. And in that case, it could be a high scoring affair, because both of these offenses have actually been much better than expected to open the season. Like I said, Falcons are ninth. I believe the Browns are top 10 as well, or close to it. So, you know, it's, let's see, sixth. Yeah, the Browns. Oh, 28.3 points per game. That's an unfortunate number. But I think it's going to be a pretty good game. And I think that's why we're seeing Vegas has set the over-under at like 49, which I think is the second highest of any game this week. Despite the Browns having a good defense, I think there's concerns about the injuries. And then, of course, that these are two good offenses. So a not great defense for the Falcons. So with all that considered, I would expect this if the Browns are as injured as they appear to be, to be a fairly high scoring affair. And I think it's going to be all about, can the Falcons keep pace with Cleveland in this one? Because I think the Browns will be able to score points on the Falcons defense. So it's really a question of, can the Falcons keep up? Yeah. Any other notes, anything interesting that you'd like to throw in here about this matchup before we sign off?
Not necessarily. I mean, like I said earlier, I would like to see Donovan Peoples-Jones get a lot of work in this game. And that's, again, going to lead us into the next couple games. So, and David Bell, Michael Woods, if he can finally start playing, he's been dealing with an illness and a hamstring injury for a while. I'd like to see him go. And Demetric Felton is somebody who, he really hasn't found his place in this offense yet. We saw him listed as a wide receiver, and he's truly a running back, and he's just kind of fell off the face of the earth after some punt and kick return trouble. And I'd like to see him find his spot in here soon. And the special teams just needs to, we've had such an issue with the special teams the last couple of weeks. That's unacceptable. So we need to start making our kicks. We need to pray that there are no onside kicks. I mean, last week, Anthony Schwartz, who barely plays snaps on offense, had to bat the ball out of bounds to make sure the Steelers didn't recover an onside kick. And it's coming to a point where Mike Prefer could be on the chopping block, and it's not a really good spot right now. But other than that, I think we are finding our stride. The offense is definitely developing. The defense is getting there, and it's going to be a really good matchup on Sunday.
Yeah, the special teams is interesting because the Falcons have been one of the best special teams units so far in the league in terms of both coverage, punting, and kicking. Obviously, Younghoe Koo, a huge weapon for the Falcons. Missed one kick. Well, technically missed two, one of them being like a 64-yard prayer that was blocked. So, you know, I don't really count that as like a full miss, but I know Cade York, the rookie, has been a little bit up and down. So that if this ends up being close, that could certainly be something to monitor. And the Falcons coverage on special teams has actually been really good for a change. So that could be something to keep an eye on as well. But yeah, for the Falcons side of things, I know fans have really wanted to see more Kyle Pitts. We finally got to see more of him last week. I suspect he will continue to be a bigger and bigger part of the game plan. They're starting to get more creative with how they're utilizing him now, especially that Drake London is starting to actually take attention away from him. The Falcons have actually got pretty good contributions from Kadarrell Hodge, former Brown. I think he's like the fourth leading receiver on the team. He's been sort of the clutch big play guy, strangely. He's been catching a lot of these intermediate targets. I think his yards per catch is like 19 right now, just because he's caught like four passes, but they've all been for like 20 yards. So happy to see him doing that. But I know fans are sort of trying to figure out the depth receivers and all these things. And it's like the Falcons just don't throw the ball that much. They threw the ball 20 times last week. There's just not that many targets to go around, especially when you have target hogs like Drake London and Kyle Pitts, who are probably going to get, you know, 7+ each. So definitely some weapons. And I think if all goes as expected, we could see some fireworks out there. Falcons haven't played particularly well at home under Arthur Smith so far, but they've only had one home game this year. And they almost came away with the victory against the Saints, really should have. So I am interested to see if they can sort of break the streak a little bit. And come away with the home victory. But I would not be shocked at all if Cleveland comes out on top, because I do think this is actually a really close matchup, as the really close point spread seems to suggest. But what is your prediction for the game officially?
I'm going to say 24-17, Browns come up with a win. I know, like we talked about, defense hasn't been great on our side. So, I mean, obviously a couple of touchdowns isn't going to really hurt anybody, but Jacoby has been locked in. Receivers need to be locked in. That could be a really stellar game for this offense.
Yeah. I think something in that realm is pretty close to what I would predict. I think I was going to go 24-20 Falcons. And I think it could be a missed kick that makes it that big of a difference. Like, I think that could end up being a crusher that ended up hurting the Falcons in week 2 against the Rams when they were down 4 at the end as well. So I think it could come down to one play like that, though. That's sort of been the Falcons' MO this season, is their point differential, you know, is minus one. So they've been keeping all these games close. I expect that to stay the same. And I think this is one of the biggest coin flips of the week, which should result in it being a good game. I was definitely impressed with the Browns on Thursday night last week. What could have been a real snooze fest ended up being a pretty great game. So props to the Browns for that one. Hopefully this one will be good as well, and got to stay healthy, both sides. So
for sure.
All right, guys. He is Noah Schaefer at @BrownsCentral_, host of the Dog Check Show on the Believe Podcast Network with Eric Metcalf. Anything else, Noah, you'd like to plug before we get out of here?
You can follow my Instagram at @BrownsCentral. I had to drop the underscore on Instagram, just make it a little more professional. But yep, that's about it. You can come in and listen to our podcast and listen to our Falcons postgame and pregame. And yeah, just come in and drop us a follow.
Absolutely, guys. Appreciate Noah's time today. I'm Kevin Knight at Falcoholic Kevin on the Twitters. You can check out the Falcoholic's written content at thefalcoholic.com. We will also be having a post-game show on the Falcoholic Live on YouTube on Sunday, immediately following the game. Definitely like and subscribe. Give us a 5-star review. All those usual YouTube/podcast platform things. If you're interested in supporting the show, you can check us out on Patreon. It's patreon.com/falcoholiclive for early access to all the podcast episodes, including this one and some other exclusive content. We appreciate everyone for supporting us there. Appreciate everyone for tuning in and watching us. Looking forward to this Falcons versus Browns clash in week 4. Could be one of the sleeper good games of the week, I think. So definitely excited to see this one play out, guys. We will talk to you again on Sunday for the post-game show. Until then, guys, enjoy Thursday Night Football. We will see you next time on the Falcoholic Live. Have a great day, folks.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.